Normally, we do not show a video of that length just before the sermon, but it has been on my heart to just make those who are new to our church to understand more and more and more that it's not just a matter of what goes on here at First Alliance Church, but we're involved in a worldwide work of making Jesus known. But there are many yet who still do not know him. Today, we are continuing to pray for the Lord to send us a new lead pastor. And as I was asked to serve as interim, I began praying, what should we do in the meantime? And in my prayer, there's some thoughts came that I'm certain of the Lord. The first thing is, what do we do as we wait? Now, there is a search committee, as you know, that has been formed to review and to look at potential candidates. But what can the rest of us do? The first initiative is to pray. We truly believe, we say it, it's a part of one of our core values. Prayer is the primary work for the people of God. Is not only the first work, it is the primary work, because we realize that in all that we do, the Lord has to be in it in order to bring him glory. And so that's the first part, and that initiative, and we know that you are praying, but we began an initiative this past week whereby we're coming together on Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock for corporate prayer. That is so very important. Now, again, I know that you're praying in your homes, and that's very important. Don't stop that. But there's something to be said about corporate prayer when we come together. And the Lord truly is saying to us, where two or three are gathered together in my name, touching and agreeing on anything, there am I in the midst. And so when we come together for corporate prayer, we are believing that things are going to happen. Things do happen when we come together for prayer. But that's the first thing that we've begun. Well, what's the second thing? I think the second thing is, obviously, is that we take a fresh look at who we are. So today we're beginning a new teaching series entitled, Our Family, Our Values. And the subject of our lesson for today is, who are we and why do we exist? Who are we? And why do we exist? Well, we have on our website flashing it, our mission statement. It says, and I know that if I ask any one of you to stand up and quote it, you could probably quote it without looking at anything. You say, we are, who are we? We are a Jesus-centered family, restoring God's masterpieces in Toledo and beyond, for his glory. That's who we are. We are Jesus-centered. Now imagine if you were a pastor and you've just taken an inventory of all of the things that have been accomplished ministry-wise in the church where you're serving, and you've checked all of the boxes of seeing things that you believe you've done well, and you breathe a sigh of thanksgiving. And just as you exhale, you receive a letter from headquarters. And that letter begins with these words, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. Now let's stop there. The words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand. We sing a song, he's got the whole world in his hands. Amen? I haven't heard that in a while, but it's true. He's got the whole world in his hands. But he's making a special point that he's whole, the seven stars and the seven lampstands. He walks in them and he holds everything. He is the same one who spoke to the dead and the dead got up. You've heard it said, but I say words of Jesus. He's the only one that could quote himself, and it would be factual. Heaven and earth, he said, shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. He's the same one who said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So please don't miss when I say this. The words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. This is the word of him who has all power. He's the only one who has complete and thorough knowledge of everything. He's the one who has ultimate authority. He said when he got up out of the grave, before he went back to the Father, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given into my hands, given unto me. So he has ultimate authority. And so he says to this angel of the church, and by the way, the word angel primarily means messenger. In this particular context, it is referring to the pastor of that church. And he says, to the angel of the church, I know your works. I know everything. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. I know. Jesus is not asking questions. Well, tell me what's going on. Tell me what's happening here. Jesus already knows. He does not have to ask anybody anything. So he says, I know your works. But look at this, how awesome it is that our Savior would begin not with words of condemnation, but tender words of commendation. Gentle words. Our Lord is gentle. I'm thinking about the words of the psalmist David, who was a king. He wrote, you have given me the shield of salvation, and your gentleness made me great. Our Savior is gentle. And so it starts off with gentle words to this pastor. I know the wonderful things that you have been doing. Jesus is the only one who judges rightly 100% of the time. You and I can look at things because we cannot see things that to the depths that our Lord and Savior can see them. We may misjudge things. We may look at somebody and see how they're standing. And we may think something is going on in that mind that isn't. We cannot read minds. Only the Lord can. And so he speaks from the standpoint of full and complete knowledge. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. Saints, the church is his idea. The church was purchased by his blood. We're reminded in 1 Corinthians 6, he says, you have been bought with a price, and that price is his blood. With respect to the church, Jesus is the planner. He's the architect. He's the engineer. He's the builder. He's the banker. He's the interior designer. He's the maintenance director. He is security. Everything is wrapped up in him. It is his. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we look at this church that he's writing to. He's asking John the Apostle to write. We see that this was an active church. They were busy doing things. And mind you, they were not necessarily busy doing bad things. They were busy doing things that were good things. It was an active church. It was a serving church. Kind of reminds you of yourselves, doesn't it? A serving church. A church with sound doctrines. A church bearing up under persecution. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, the persecution will come. We really haven't suffered. Persecutions will come if the Lord tarries. We just need to be prepared for it. He says, I see that this was an energetic church. So if there's a problem, what could it be? How many among us can quote from memory our mission statement? We are a Jesus-centered family, restoring God's masterpieces in Toledo and beyond for his glory. Why do I keep saying Jesus-centered? Because that is the crux of it. A Jesus-centered family. And so we take a look today at our family, our values, and we take a look really at the Word of God and what it says. The FAC Go value number 3 is talking about the family. It says that we are a mosaic of people loving God and doing life together. And so we ask ourselves again the question, who are we and why do we exist? What is a core value? And this is very important for me to remind myself of core values. What does it mean to be a Jesus-centered family? Our core values are our mission central objectives. They're critical to everything that we do. I found an article which appeared in the July of 2002 issue of the Harvard Business Review. And here's what it says about core values. It says, core values are the deeply ingrained principles that guide all of an organization's actions. They serve as its cultural cornerstones. The writer succinctly defined core values as being inherent and sacrosanct. Yeah, I had to look that word up. It says that those are values that can never be compromised, either for convenience or short-term economic gain. Core values often reflect the values of a company's founder. And I took a look at a company called Hewlett-Packard, HP we now call them. It says they are the source of a company's distinctiveness and must be maintained at all cost. Here are some values that one company posted in the 2000 annual report. It says communication, respect, integrity, and excellence. Those are the core values of a company known as, now defunct, Enron. Now, many of you know about Enron, but some of you may not. Enron was a very, very large corporation that because they were not following their own core values of integrity, they did something in accounting what is called colloquial terms like cooking the books. And so they were not honest with their stockholders. And when the word got out that things were not as well as they were claiming they to be, they went down, 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 down very, very rapidly. And so what we understand by that is one thing to put core values on a piece of paper. But it's another thing to live by them. And so they were not living by the values that they were claiming to hold. You know, this can happen in churches as well. And this is why I'm so happy to see people of First Alliance praying together, why I'm seeing some people so doing things together, doing life together. Because we see the importance of the values that we espouse. We are a Jesus-centered family, restoring God's masterpieces in Toledo and beyond for his glory. Jesus-centered, and we see this, and we want to keep our focus on that. God gave the children of Israel core values when he established them as a nation. You can find them in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. When Jesus came on the scene, he stated that same core value in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, when one of the legal scholars of the Pharisees asked him the question, Master, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Some theologians say that the Pharisees were trying to get Jesus to elevate one commandment above another. But Jesus, in his response, gave them the core, which encompasses everything. And this is what he said, and you're familiar with it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
all of that.
These are the core values which should dictate everything we do. And so when we state who we are, a Jesus-centered family, we know that Jesus has to be at the center of it. We are a family. In the Bible, the word family means the Father's house. In other words, when you look in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, you see, well, these were the house of whoever. This was the people that were of the house of whoever. And so what the father of the house espoused, the family generally followed along. And so the head of this house is Jesus. And so we follow what he wants us to be about. And so he says to John, Jesus said to John, write this to the angel of the church, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. And he names a few other things that he does. He says, I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake. You've not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Talk about taking the sugar and cream out of your coffee. Wow, while I'm sitting back thinking about all of the wonderful things that are going on, this pastor is doing. He gets this letter. And yeah, the first few lines are, wow, this is great. But then he gets down to that. But this I have against you. Just took the wind right out of his sail. And so we need to be mindful. And so what are these values? Our love for him is to be the motive of all that we do. Our love for Jesus. I can love you and you can love me if Jesus is at the center of our being. To obey his commandments, to seek his power, to do his will, to love Jesus and to love others just like Jesus loves. Many of us can remember the last conversation Jesus had with the disciple Peter. There was a threefold question to Peter. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Think about that for a moment. Think about Jesus asking you that question. I'm thinking about Jesus asking Donald Smith that question. Donald, do you love me? The same question that he asked Peter is as he's asking each of us. Do you love me? The text, John 21, 15 through 17 says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. There are theologians who will say that Jesus asked Peter that question three times because he wanted to restore Peter after Peter had denied him three times. That could be part of it, but I have a different take on that. And here's the rub of it. Whenever Jesus says anything, we should sit up and take notice. Whenever he says anything twice, we should really sit up and take notice. But when he says it three times, you know you've got to really, 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 really pay attention to what he's saying. You'd better stand up and listen to what he's talking about. Simon, do you love me? Why is that so important? He says in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is my commandment, he said to the disciples in John 15, 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. To feed the Lord's sheep is what he commanded, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, he said in Matthew. And so why is this so important? Why am I stressing this? Listen to this. Jesus never asked Peter to be devoted to a cause. Wait a minute. Didn't he say feed his sheep? Yep, you heard me right. But I say again, Jesus never asked Peter, and he never asked you, or he's never asked any of us to be devoted to a cause. He commands us to be devoted to him. Are you with me? You see, you can be devoted to a cause, and you can become weary, and you can wear out, and you can just kind of sit and quit. But if you're devoted to him, you stand on him and him alone. Do we want to see First Alliance Church grow? Be devoted to Jesus. Do we want to see new disciples come into a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Be devoted to Jesus. So it's not our devotion to First Alliance Church, because let me tell you, you're already aware, and I'm pretty sure I've already failed some people. And guess what? Between now and the time that you get a new pastor, I will fail you again. I'm not speaking of something of being proud of. No. I'm not perfect. And neither are you. And because I do not expect you to be perfect, I can deal with the little things that come up between us. Are you with me? The key is being devoted to him. And this is what Jesus is calling us to be about. If you love me, Peter, then I don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to do what I'm commanding you to do. Because if you love me, you will do what I'm commanding you. And this is applying to each one of us today. Being devoted to him and him alone. This love, to love Jesus with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as thyself. This is, in spite of all the things that we've talked about in terms of our core values or our mission statements, whatever, this is our core value. Loving the Lord with all of our being and loving one another as we love ourselves. Are you with me? This matter of love is so important. There's a whole chapter. As a matter of fact, the whole book of 1 Corinthians was written because people didn't know how to love one another. And then he devotes a whole chapter. And that some of the chapter is love, love, love. And that without love, no matter what you do, you are nothing. And without love, you gain nothing. And so we must be about that business. 1 John chapter 2, 3-6 says, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not him. But whoever keeps his word in him, true to the love of God, is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Primarily, I know that there are various words in the scriptures that are translated into love, but primarily there are two, and one is agape and the other one is phileo. Agape love indicates the nature of the love God has toward his son and ultimately the love God has toward you and me, but also the love that you and I have to have toward the Lord and to one another. Agape love conveys God's will to his children about their attitude toward one another. The love for one another is a demonstration to the world of what it means to be a disciple. Jesus said, that is our badge of spirituality. Many people want to use all kinds of things as a badge of spirituality, but Jesus said, if you really want the world to know to whom you belong, love one another as I have loved you. That's the way the world will know. Not out of many passages of scripture you can quote, not how well you can exegete scripture, but the love that you have one toward another. Ladies and gentlemen, of all the things the church of Revelation 2, 1 through 7 had done well, they failed in the one core. Now, yes, I know it starts off saying to the angel of the church, but if you read that seventh verse, you see that it's really intended for the whole church. These things you've done well, but this I have against you, that you've abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And he says in verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. How important. 1 John 4, 20 to 21. Praise team, come back up, please. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God, must also love his brother. We do a lot of things well here at this church, or may I just say in this church, and I'm not referring to this building. I'm talking about the family. We do a lot of things very well. But as we are beginning this journey together, waiting for the Lord to send us a new pastor, let us focus on God's core value, which is love. And I'm not talking about weak sentimentality, because the love that God has for us, yes, it is tender enough to forgive us of our sins, but it's also a love that will correct us when we are walking down a path that is not pleasing to him. And so we say that his love is a holy love. He himself is holy. And so we want to remember that. God's core value, love one another as I have loved you. The world from outside may call us many different things, but let them never call us people who do not know how to love. Let us be focused on it.